Good evening, Mike. How are you?
Cheryl, hey, how are you? It's always a pleasure on my end.
Well, thank you so much. Are you? I hope you're out enjoying this evening.
I just got home from work. I was in trial all day, so I'm about to.
You're as soon as I finish up. Well, I'll be quick and efficient so that you can get out and enjoy this evening with your family. Wanted to talk with you after interesting. Lansing State Journal article about the super drunk driving laws. And of course, as we've talked on this show before, Mike Nichols is the author of a book called The Michigan OWI Handbook. And so who better to talk to? Your thoughts on whether or not this law of super drunk law is going to help curb drunk driving at all?
Well, I appreciate the compliment and intro. And I think, frankly, it's just way too soon to tell whether or not adding sort of a new layer of penalties for people who have particular BAC without doing any research on why that BAC merits extra penalties. It's just way too soon to tell whether that's going to do anything to reduce the number of drunk driving arrests or drunk driving incidents, frankly, because there are so many things going on from, you know, police officers on the road to police officers focusing on different areas of enforcement to, you know, frankly, more people doing things like taking cabs or having a safe driver. There are just a lot of things going on that may reduce the number of drunk driving incidents. So I just don't think it's fair to try to pinpoint a solution to a problem with this so-called super drunk law.
Well, and one of the quotes in the article from you, it said that it's the government trying to cure its ills that it's not equipped to cure.
And I stand by that. I just think that we have a lot of professionals in our society, and frankly, we have a culture in our society, and we have human frailty, what it is. You know, a person is going to abstain when they are ready to abstain. And if they have a problem with substance abuse, they are only going to get permanent help when they are ready to do that. And my only concern with sobriety, I certainly help people, but how long? For how long is that person going to stay sober? And the answer only lays in that person, whether they can find the tools they need to stay sober day in and day out, whether they really want that, or whether they're just doing it to appease a probation officer. And sobriety court, frankly, in my opinion, is not for everyone, and certainly not for everyone with the high BAC, because who knows what was going on that contributed to that, you know, breath or blood alcohol essence. So I think that just having the legislature pick this number, frankly, out of the air and establishing it as the number at which you're subject to a certain layer of penalties, which includes the mandate or the requirement of a breath alcohol ignition interlock device on your car, and that you enter into treatment, and that you lose your license for a minimum of 45 days. One size does not fit all with the human condition.
But do you see the merits, Mike, of an attempt? Let me see how to word this carefully. The attempt at folks who are being arrested and charged with these higher blood alcohol levels, required to go to a year-long alcohol rehab program. Do you see any merit in the attempt to try to curb the problem through a rehab program that's mandatory rather than voluntary?
Well, it's mandatory that they enter into rehab under the law, but it's not mandatory that they complete rehab. I mean, there's got to be, you know, as I thought about this situation and these kinds of cases, I kept thinking to myself, there's got to be someone who is smart enough, or some group of folks who are smart enough to sit down and take a look at every single person who's in the justice system for a substance abuse charge, whether it's drunk driving, drugged driving, or use of cocaine or marijuana, there's got to be a person who is equipped to sit down and on a case-by-case, person-by-person basis, say, here's what is appropriate to help this person to get rehabilitated and to help keep the community safe. And I thought through and I was wrestling with it, and I came to the conclusion that there is a person. It's a licensed, qualified substance abuse assessor that goes through the court, that goes through the judge, and then the judge sits down under our current system and takes a look at a substance abuse assessment and says, okay, based on what I read here and based on what I've seen with you and heard from you and your lawyer and from, you know, the prosecutor or maybe some of your family members, here's what I think is an appropriate way to try to get you on the right track, if need be. So we have that now, because the law said, before Superdrunk came along, flew out of the sky, the law said that anybody who's convicted of an offense under the drunk driving statute, whether it's drug or drunk driving, has to get a substance abuse assessment that the judge has to read prior to fashioning a sentence.
Well, I guess, you know, we'll continue to follow this. I appreciate the thought that, you know, as others have mentioned in this very same article, it's a little too early to tell yet whether it's going to change anyone's behavior or not. And I don't think the law, as you had alluded to, is going to change behavior. It's just perhaps whether you'll consider what you're up to beforehand.
Listen, I've been practicing law for 12 years now, Cheryl. I'm not sure that the law can ever change behavior.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it might be helpful to help plant the seed with our future generation when we have the opportunity with our kids and with the right education at home and at school. Perhaps that's the way we mold behavior before it needs to be changed.
Well, very nicely said. And we will end with that, and I will let you go mold behavior with your beautiful young daughter on this beautiful evening outside.
Okay, great to talk with you as always, Cheryl.
Very good. Thank you so much, Mike.